Welcome to the Gurr and Fangirl Podcast, a podcast where we discuss pop culture and fandom. Each episode, we talk with celebrities, fans, and creators about their work in the media that inspires them. Now here's your host, the creator of The Squee Project, filmmaker, fangirl, and feminist, Hansi Oppenheimer.
Hey, it's Hansi, and today's bonus episode is an interview with Lloyd Kaufman. Kaufman and Troma have become icons in the cult movie world, and they have distributed over 1,000 films. Lloyd has continued his career as a director in addition to producing, and Troma has turned out such films as Monster in the Closet, Class of Nukem High, Combat Shock, and Poltergeist, Night of the Chicken Dead. Lloyd has been making truly independent films for almost 50 years at his New York City studio in Tromaville. He's a constant presence at Comic-Cons, and his amazing energy to keep making films is an inspiration to every filmmaker that has struggled to get their film made. I became friends with him at DragonCon a few years ago, and since then have videotaped a Tromaville tour for my YouTube channel and talk with him regularly. I respect the fuck out of him for his hard work, commitment to his own vision. His current film, Shakespeare's Shitstorm, is coming out in a few months, and I highly recommend you see it. It will blow your mind. So here we go.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Sorry to keep you waiting. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
What were you working on today?
Excuse me?
What were you working on today?
Oh, well, we're getting Shakespeare's Shitstorm. We're getting close to locking the picture. And we're going to have a screening of the work in progress on Wednesday. So we're doing a little tweaking and last-minute rendering and a lot of detail work. And then my mother is in the hospital, so I'm doing a lot of work there, too.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it too, but what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? All I know
we're all
is.
We're at that age.
Excuse me?
We're all at that age where our parents are, you know, getting to that point where we're taking care of them too.
Yeah, it's 83. She's 83. She took care of my father, who was 30 years her senior, so I owe her. And it ain't pretty. So,
I'm
sorry. Yeah, me too. But what are you going to do? I mean, hey, she's 83. That's not bad. 83 isn't. At least she's not 37. So, let's go. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
I just I had interviewed Debbie Rochon recently, and we talked about her career, and she talked about how it was sort of bookended by, you know, Romeo and Juliet, and then Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Yes, she's extremely talented.
She is in so many different medias, you know, in writing and acting and directing and radio hosting.
She is sincerely an artist and sincerely an independent. She is a real independent artist. She really enjoys the independent world. Good for her. It's very brave, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Well, it's also it's a lot of not eating and not having rent money because she's not sucking dick in the mainstream. I don't mean to be, I'm sorry to be crude, but, right? Everybody runs out there and licks ass and goes to meetings. And, you know, she's interested in real film, real art. And good for her. Good for her.
But that means you don't have a lot of staff to do anything for you. You kind of have to do it yourself. So,
right. I don't think she has an agent. I don't have an agent. So the point is she's real, as opposed to most of the industry that is not real.
No, you and I have discussed this about independent
film.
Yeah,
we have indeed. We have indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, the burden of independent film. But at least you have control over what you make, you know.
Oh, hi, Philip. Hi. Yeah, it's a tough world. Being independent artist, as you know. Yeah,
it's a lot of work. But I find that the people who do it are very, you know, youthful in spirit. They have a lot of energy. And so they're always busy.
Great.
And they love it.
Well, it's not fun being ignore it. That is not fun. So
no,
but I don't speak for Debbie. I speak for myself. It's not fun to be ignored after 50 years.
Yeah, I don't feel like you're ignored. I feel like you're, you know, Roger Corman, you know.
With people like you who are genuinely interested in art and who are artists, I'm respected. But the New York Times, I don't know how many New York company. I think I've whined about this before, but there can't be too many New York movie studios based in New York that have achieved 45 years. There aren't too many that have achieved 40 years, or 35, or 30, or 20. There are none that have achieved 20 who are independent.
No.
But not one word. The only thing we've gotten from the New York Times in the past 20 years were reviews. You know, they review our movies if we want to go to a theater, which we did.
Wasn't there that one piece, Cecil B. DeMille in Walk Up or something? Was that time?
Yeah, that was around 1980.
Okay, so you're due for at least another one.
I think so. I mean, don't you think that they're perfectly willing to I don't want to use a crude word, but
it's fine.
You know, any mainstream movie that's heavily advertised, they're all over it, right? You know, and the Grammys and the red carpet, the New York Times loves the red carpet. They love all the fashion. You know, the Met, where they have $200,000 clothing, right? The Met, where was wearing a costume. Who was it? Was it Lady Gaga? I don't think it was Lady Gaga. It was some other. It was a less talented artist at the Met fashion show. The Met and the New York Times and this movie star proudly announcing that 3,000 hours of work had gone into creating the costume she was wearing at the Metropolitan Museum fashion show for rich people. That's what the New York Times is all about.
And weren't they trying to do like Trailer Park Style or something like, and they were so off, they just didn't understand what it was at all, but...
Say that again?
Weren't they trying to, the theme was like Trailer Park Style or something like that, and it was, they just didn't get it at all. It was like, just watch a John Waters movie, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Anyway, what did you want to ask me?
Well, so I wanted to ask you about Shakespeare's Shitstorm. So
good.
Debbie Rochon was saying that you you play a female character, or...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she said that your directing style was very different when you were dressed as a woman than as a man. Were you aware
kidding.
Of that?
I was not aware of that. But I was aware of being a better-looking woman at my age than being than a man. I'm a horrifying looking woman, but I'm still better looking as a woman than as a man. I'm embarrassed to say. So
yeah,
interesting.
She said you were much softer as a director, like when you were young. Like...
That's great to know. Well, there you go. You know, another thing which you may be interested in is that when people wear the Toxic Avenger mask, you know, the publicity mask, to put the makeup on for Toxic Avenger takes 4 hours for the movies. But we have these publicity masks. I think they sell them also. To whoever wears those things, even the mask takes on a different personality. It's fascinating because people really, their character somehow is infused into the toxic personality. It's really, and I've done it myself. I mean, I've worn that mask a lot, including the Macy's parade on Thanksgiving. it does change your personality. You do become different. And I'm not really making any secrets here because, you know, the tradition of African masks, right? They take these people, put the mask on, and they go crazy, and then they take the mask off, and they're back to being normal. So, you know, there is a magic to masks and makeup and all this stuff.
Costume,
so I'm not surprised that maybe I was more tender as a female director, but my recollection
isn't a bad thing, like...
What's that? Say that again.
I was thinking, is it an Ed Wood thing? Or are you going to start wearing an Angora sweater now?
Well,
direct?
People from Shudder came in. Camera team from Shudder, that TV show.
Yeah.
Network.
Awesome.
They came to interview me, and I was in the Antoinette costume and wig and makeup. I mean,
awesome.
I was dressed as a woman, and I told them that now that I'm more successful, I feel more comfortable directing as a woman, and they took it no problem. They didn't ask me anymore.
What Shudder?
They filmed
I'm sure they
it.
Loved it.
It's going to be in their documentary. In all seriousness,
that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, they really liked that. So
thank you, John.
So. Anyway,
so when can we? I won't keep you much longer. Just when can we expect to see the final cut of Shakespeare's Shitstorm?
Well, the picture is supposed to be locked around the 20th, somewhere in the last week of June, and then
okay.
we have to go and do the sound. And I don't
okay.
know. I'm sure we've got another 3 months before we will finish the movie. And then, of course, we have to get into movie theaters and stuff like that. We got to get the movie
maybe
theaters.
Around New York Comic Con, maybe around the fall?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It might be there in the fall. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Just 1 second.
Sure.
Sorry.
That's okay.
What were you saying? Sorry, just a call came in. What were you saying?
That's okay. I won't keep you. I know you have stuff.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, so But again, maybe, if New York Comic Con had any interest, we could probably show it there. But I don't think they have any interest.
Yeah.
They prefer William Shatner. So give him $500.
Well,
get him a $500 per signature. He really needs the money. Right? He's so desperate. He has to charge.
I know you guys are going to
be. He has to take lunch money from children. Huh?
I know you guys are going to be in San Diego this year.
Yeah, we have a nice booth in San Diego. We have a panel in San Diego, of course.
Oh, good. I'll come.
New York would never think of giving it. New York would never think of giving us a panel. Our own hometown. But San Diego, yes. Yeah, I'll be there.
Well, I'll come and I'll cover it for you. And then you can tell me what's
going
on with the film.
Oh, terrific. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And, keep me posted.
So you'll be in San Diego. That's great. We can do real time, perhaps.
Yeah,
if you like.
And I show people, promote the movie a little, let people know.
Well, Return to Newcomb High and Return to Newcomb High, the second half of it, those two movies are still going around the movie theaters, so we're still... encouraging movie theaters and encouraging our fans, if they want to see our movie, Return to Newcomb High, which the first half, Volume 1, and Return to Newcomb High, a.k.a. Volume 2. If they want to see that, they ought to go and tell their movie theaters.
Yeah,
we should
let the drive-ins know. That would be a blast.
Exactly.
The double feature of drive-in event.
It'd be fun in the drive-in. It'd be great in the drive-in, yeah.
Yeah,
we haven't had any drive-ins.
People.
Good.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So we've only gotten about 50 theaters so far, and usually if I'm directing a movie, I usually get about 200. So we're just starting to get in touch with the movie theaters in the United States for those two movies. At least for the second one. The first one went around. The second one, though, we has only had about 50 theaters. Return to Newcomb High. It played here a couple. It played in New York for a couple of weeks. And played in L.A. for a couple of weeks, it's only had about 50 theaters. Other than that, so we need to get on. We're just starting to send out some press releases and stuff.
But Shakespeare Shitstorm
did
well at the New Jersey Horror Con. I heard
yes,
good things,
big,
and that was
huge,
just a test screening. But I heard really good things.
Yes, they had to bring. It was a very good focus group. Yeah, it was a focus group of the rough cut, and. Place was packed. Yeah, it was went very well. And I got very good notes. We hand out leaflets, we hand out questionnaires, and I got excellent notes from the fans. And that was a while back, of course. And then we had
you take them seriously and you listen to the fans. That's really unique.
Sure, of course. Well, the fans. Most of our fans are serious movie buffs, movie cinephiles like you. And, you know, they're really interested in good movies. So we get some very good suggestions, especially about what to cut, you know, what they didn't understand or what they, you know, we have a whole two-page questionnaire with multiple choice questions that we can find out if we, you know, what did you think of this scene or what did you like best or how do you rate the movie or blah, 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 blah. Free, it's what do you call, it's like market research, which...
Yeah, but you're asking the people who are actually going to go see the movie, so you're smart, you know, you're not just asking random people.
Exactly. Yeah. And how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm good. I'm just wrapping up a documentary on the writer Joe Lansdale, and we're screening it at the Alamo Draft House in Austin in August.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
well, that's a big deal. That's the best of all the Alamo Draft Houses. I think that's the best one. That's great. Will you go?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go there, and Joe's going to be there, and some other writers, and so when there's a con in Austin that weekend, so I'm appearing at the con with Joe, and we're going to promote it, and so...
Great. Well, congratulations. That's terrific. Good for you. Wonderful.
Yeah, just keep working on it, right? Just keep doing it.
as Woody Allen says, success is 88% just showing up.
It's
of course,
true.
He's boffing his daughter, but other than that, I guess.
Yeah. Like, he's still a good filmmaker, a terrible human being, but a good filmmaker.
Well, I don't know that he is a terrible. Nobody's proven anything, but it is weird. Let's put it that way. At any rate, I better sign off because I've got to get back to the hospital. But we can talk more if you want to. Get back in touch with Tom. I just didn't have a lot of time, but if you want to do it again, we can set up another time, and I'll be better.
I would love that.
I'll give you more. All righty, so just send Tom an email or whatever.
Okay.
Will
do.
Great, and
thanks
congratulations
so
to you. That's wonderful. That's really great. And a good documentary.
I appreciate it.
I just watched the documentary about Elizabeth Holmes, the woman who did that... blood testing fraudulent company, Theragram.
Oh, yeah. How was it? Was it good?
So-so. My daughter shot a lot of it. It was a little, I think, there was some technique that was very interesting. And certainly she's fascinating. It's worthwhile. And then there's another one about Ingmar Bergman that's out called Finding Ingmar Bergman or something, which is directed by a German director, female named Von Trotta, and I remember she's also an old bag. Bergman's dead, so he isn't even old. Very old, but she made one movie that is like a big. Good night, Philippe. Tomorrow let's talk. Okay, let's chat tomorrow. Thank you, Philippe. So she made a very important film, I think it was late 60s. You would know it. I just cannot bring the thing to mind. And she's done other important films. And obviously way ahead of the real feminist movement. You know, she's much harder for her to do anything than today. And it's still hard.
It's getting better. It's still hard, but it's getting better.
But it was impossible in her day. Anyway, she did this documentary about Ingmar Bergman, I thought was quite interesting. And I think you might enjoy that, too. And
have
Bergman,
you seen the documentary on Robert Johnson?
Howard Johnson, the restaurants?
No, Robert Johnson, the blues musician.
No, I haven't. He's great, though. He's got a... there's a vegetarian restaurant, a vegan restaurant in Beverly Hills. It's incredibly expensive, and it's named after him, or it's his restaurant, or somehow he's involved.
Definitely not his restaurant, but because he
is he dead?
Passed away. He was one of the. Yeah, he died at 27. He's the one who, they said sold
his soul. Oh, then
the
I guess it's
the
just
crossroads.
They're honoring him. Sorry. Say it again.
Robert Johnson, he's the one who they say sold his soul at the crossroads for his musical talent, blues musician.
That's the name of the restaurant. Hold it. The vegan restaurant is called Crossroad.
It's probably an honor to, they're referencing him. But
what is Crossroad? I'm sorry.
So he, you know, he basically, he sucked as a musician. No one wanted to play with him. And so he disappeared for a year and came back and could outplay anybody. And everyone was like, you know, where did he get this talent from? So they said, he sold his soul at the devil, you know, to the devil at the crossroads.
Yeah, yeah. I never knew.
A documentary about him. But there's there's only two photographs of him. There's no live footage of him. There's recordings of him, but there's not very much. So it was really interesting documentary because they didn't have a lot to work with. They had to, you know, go to where
he was
from.
Yeah, that is very
find
interesting.
Find people who,
indeed,
you know, might have been alive when he was alive. And yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, wow. That is really interesting. I have to find that. Where would you see that documentary?
It's Netflix.
Oh, terrific. Robert Johnson?
Yep. Yeah.
Is that what
it's called? Robert Johnson at the Crossroads.
It's called Remastered Robert Johnson
at the Crossroads.
Cool. Great.
There's
one about Sam Cooke
like
that's
40 minutes.
Say that again?
Oh, yes. It's the same series. It's the same series, the Remastered series.
Aha. Uh-huh. Did you see the Sam Cooke one?
I did. Really interesting. Yeah.
I thought that was, I had no idea he was such a hero. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know about any of the civil rights stuff.
And again, he fought when it was a fight. You know, he didn't, you know what I mean? He was battling uphill, like Von Trotta, like the female director Bergman loves, and who did the piece about Bergman. Bergman, at some point in the documentary, gives a list of his favorite movies of all time, and her movie, the one I'm trying to think of, was on that list.
Wow, that's quite an honor.
So it's interesting that she ends up directing the documentary, the posthumous documentary, you know.
I'll have to look it up. That sounds fascinating.
Alrighty, I do better go there. Talk to you soon, and thank you. Best wishes to you.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thanks
for joining us this week on the Gurr and Fangirl. If you enjoyed our show, be sure to visit our website, www.screeprojects.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel for lots more Scree as Fuck pop culture content.